This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Sleep disorders are at epidemic proportions worldwide and affect both the health and the quality of life for all who suffer from them. And what's worse is that they occur in both adults and children. The good news, though, is that they can be prevented and treated. And here with more on this are Dr. Dragos Manta, Assistant Professor of Medicine and the Co-Director of the Sleep Center at Upstate Medical University, and Dr. Zafir Sultan, Associate Professor of Pediatrics, specializing in pediatric pulmonary medicine and the Director of the Pediatric Sleep Center at Upstate Golisano Children's Hospital. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming today.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Manta, sleep disorders are ubiquitous. They're everywhere in this country, and seems like it's all over the world. Why do you think that is these days?
Well, I think there are at least a couple of issues that I can think of. One of them is definitely the increased awareness. Unfortunately, there was not too much science in sleep medicine until, I would say, the last 20, 30 years. And so the physicians are more aware, the patients are more aware. That's probably one of the reasons. The other reasons, unfortunately, is the obesity epidemic that our country and a lot of the world is dealing with right now.
That makes
prevalence of one of the main sleep conditions that we're treating, sleep apnea, be much higher than used to be in the past.
So, in fact, there really are clear reasons, the fact, the obesity thing leading to sleep apnea, which is one of, as you said, the highest incidence of sleep disorders are caused by something like, in adults, are caused by sleep apnea.
Caused or at least make it more easy to show up, basically.
Yeah. And what do you think about the idea of so many more people, both adults and children, and we'll talk to you, Dr. Sultan, about the children, but are on, kind of on devices, everybody's kind of tuned, plugged in, wired up. Do you think that, in terms of being 24/7 available to either work 24/7 or be in touch with someone communicating 24/7, do you think that has an impact on why we're seeing so many erratic sleep?
Yeah, surely it does. And that's probably the other epidemic and contributing to this. And that's the fact that people are very sleep deprived these days. Unfortunately, as you said, everybody's on their computers, on their iPhones, and everybody goes to sleep later and later. And therefore, sleep deprivation is definitely contributing to the sleep problems that people have.
So apart from there being just something like an occasional night of insomnia, but when you're having a real constant problem like this, it's both environmental, but it can also be based on some other pathology, like you were talking about, the issue of obesity and their co-occurring issue of sleep disorder.
Yeah, that's correct.
So, Dr. Sultan, how common are sleep disorders in kids?
Depends of what disorder we're talking about, and I'm not sure we know exactly. So in children, as Dr. Mehta mentioned, we have two major issues. We have the breathing problems, and we have the poor quality of sleep or inadequacy of sleep issue. And as far as the breathing problem, we think that 3% of kids do have a breathing disorder. They do snore, and the snoring is associated with breathing problem, that they stop breathing, and they do have adverse consequences because of that.
Would you call that childhood sleep apnea?
Yes.
Then? So it is a
called.
Form of sleep apnea.
Yes. And as far as the other part of sleep disorders, which is the talking about inadequacy of sleep, insomnia, restless sleep. This, actually, we are not sure exactly how common it is, but it depends of what you, it depends of is it going to reach a disorder level or if it's just a developmental stage. So if it's developmental stage, I think it's very, very common. Disorder is not that common, I think. I think quite high percentage of children are not aware, or adolescents are not aware of the hours of sleep they need to get in order for them to be to function normally next day. So if we take it this way, that it's just phenomena, I think it's very common.
So let me just get it clear.
Yes.
So there are, you say, a small percentage of kids who have real breathing problems, such as sleep apnea, that could contribute to it. But what I'm also hearing is that in the main, some of it has to do with poor sleeping habits and maybe even a cultural pressure, especially when you get to the adolescent level, of like sleep is for wimps or something. You know, I can get by with 2 hours of sleep and I can be up on all night long on my, you know, on the computer and then get up and go to school the next day.
Yes.
So there are some real physiologic disorders that exist in childhood, but you see a lot of these other things playing a role.
Absolutely. As you said, cultural issues or habits, which start from infancy. There are families who prefer that their kids sleep with them, with the same room, which is a bad habit because eventually the kid will not learn how to sleep on his own or her own. And again, cultural thing is that the adolescents, the high school children, they believe that or they think that sleep is not necessary and they can get by sleeping a couple of hours only. And that also kind of, this is the thing, this is a habit. So, and that can lead eventually to disorder.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, and I'm here with Drs. Manta and Sultan. They're experts on sleep medicine, and we're talking about sleep problems in both adults and children. So, Dr. Manta, there's a wide range of disorders that exist with adults, right? I mean, you can have sleepwalking. I mean, there's all kinds of things we've talked about. Mm-hmm. But regardless, and the same is true, I guess, well, there aren't as wide a range for children, but regardless of the cause, the underlying cause of lack of sleep, this lack of sleep has to contribute to a wide range of problems. What are the kinds of behavioral things that you see in adults who have sleep problems, sleep disorders?
All right. Well, one of the most common sleep disorder, like we talked about, is sleep apnea, and that is very well associated with excessive daytime sleepiness. So a lot of the patients that have this condition, not necessarily all of them, but most of them have problems staying awake and alert during the day. Unfortunately, that can lead to a lot of problems from as minor as, you know, poor concentration to something that would impair them to do their work responsibilities.
So they have poor job performance.
Poor job performance. I did have patients that unfortunately they lost their job because they couldn't stay awake.
Really?
Yeah. And ultimately, you know, and that's probably the one thing that I worry the most is car accidents. Unfortunately, you know, if you fall asleep while driving, that doesn't forgive you. Sometimes, and you can hurt yourself or hurt somebody else, and that's something very serious that we all need to be very aware of.
Absolutely. How about emotional things like depression or increase in depression or anxiety? I would think sleep deprivation really contributes greatly to your emotional well-being.
Definitely, sleep problems, you know, are definitely very interconnected with psychiatrical problems, psychological problems, including anxiety.
And you've seen that a lot in your patients.
Oh, yeah.
And how about you, Dr. Sultan, with children? What are the ramifications, you know, of having difficulty sleeping for whatever the underlying cause?
Yes. So if the children don't get the required hours of sleep, then next day they will be sleepy, tired, they have poor cognitive function, poor school performance, inability to concentrate on tasks, and they don't get the grades which is expected from them, and sometimes they are hyperactive actually. Sometimes younger kids in particular, they manifest the sleepiness by being hyperactive. And there's quite a few kids who are mislabeled as being having attention deficit and hyperactivity just because simply they are not getting enough sleep at night. This is the daytime. These are the daytime manifestations. Nighttime manifestations, usually it's inability to sleep, insomnia, frequent awakenings. That's what happened actually during the night, that they sometimes if they do have breathing disorders, the parents would observe them having difficulty breathing. They do manifest by apnea, which means they just stop breathing.
Do you see emotional disturbances also in children who have sleep problems?
Moodiness?
The
associations have been found. Associations have been found with actually even snoring. snoring without stop breathing, was daytime having irritability and
irritability. So it seems to me that something obviously can be done, and there's a process of trying to figure out what needs to be done for both adults and children. And I understand one thing that's become very, very important is a sleep study to understand the nature of what people are doing, whether they're adults or children, what their sleep is looks like. And so I know you have a sleep lab. We just talked about that. And I understand that you're opening a new one. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Let me get to that in a bit. I just wanted to actually bring up one more important point that I think we need to do before we go to the next step. And that would be that I think we, both of us talked about short-term consequences of sleep problems. But I think the one of the main things that I, at least I'm worried in my patients that, you know, tend to be, you know, a little bit older than Dr. Sultan's patients is long-term cardiovascular risk. And unfortunately, that's one of the main thing that that we try to prevent by treating sleep conditions, especially sleep apnea, because there is increased cardiovascular risk, including heart attacks, strokes, even dementia. So yes, because of that, it's very important to be aware of this condition and try to figure out what the risk is for an individual patient and go to the next step, which in many cases involves coming and spending a night in the sleep lab to figure out if they do have sleep apnea or they don't, or if they have any other condition that we need to treat.
That's a very key point. Thank you for mentioning that. So you are moving the sleep laboratory to a new location. Tell us about where you're going and what will it look like and who will you be helping?
Yeah, I mean, we are excited to have a new sleep lab. It's state-of-the-art facility. In pediatric in particular, we're going to have 4 dedicated beds for children, and which is exactly actually what we wanted for our area. So we are pleased to announce that the lab is going to be brand new. It's going to be opening soon, and it's fully equipped. And just to touch on the process starts by educating the public about the importance of sleep and make family aware of the symptoms of sleep disorder, and then seek attention of the pediatrician, who the pediatrician usually they're aware, and they make the referral to our center, where we evaluate the patient and determine what is the next step. Mentioning the sleep lab, sometimes in some sleep disorders, sleep lab is necessary. Sleep study, which means the child or the patient will spend the night in the lab to observe his or her sleep pattern, brain waves, breathing pattern, to make the diagnosis of the disorder. So that is the role of the sleep lab.
And with the adults, very, very briefly, I don't want to run out of time, it's a similar thing.
Yeah, I would say probably one of the most important things is to be seen by a physician, preferably by a sleep-certified physician, before undergoing a sleep study, to make sure that the right sleep study is ordered and the sleep study is indicated.
And then treatment protocols are determined. And
based on that, yes.
Right. And you're going, if you want information about the new Upstate Sleep Lab, you can call 315-464-8668. That's Upstate Connects. And we'll have information, more contact information, on our website, HealthLinkOnAir, that's all one word, .org. Well, I want to thank you both for coming in. Very, very, very important
thank you for having
information.
Us.
Thank you.
My guests have been Dr. Dragos Manta, Assistant Professor of Medicine and the Co-Director of the Sleep Center at Upstate Medical University, and Dr. Safir Sultan, Associate Professor of Pediatrics, and he's also the Director of the Pediatric Sleep Center at Upstate Golisano Children's Hospital. Thanks so much for
thank
coming.
Thank you.
I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.